I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.
Coming your way in the next hour, and you might want to have a pen and paper handy to jot down some notes so you can follow up on some of these topics at your leisure. And tonight's program will be a mix of yoga and ET, extraterrestrial information, largely centered around reality creation. But before we get into all that, we'd like to kick off the program in our usual way by playing a brief mantra meditation by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that now, that'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
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 Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Hari Hari
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Hari Hari
Om
Hari Om Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Om Hari Hari Hari
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari Om
Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Hari
Shabbat.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, leading us in a Hari Om mantra meditation. And that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And I'd like to take this opportunity to give my thanks and appreciation to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you, because as we've said before on the program, you're already making the optimum difference in this world just by being you. And when you do your passion, it's when other people become aware of the difference you're already making. I'd also like to give my thanks for those people who do take the time to email me. And, you know, I was thinking about it the other day, and that of the hundreds of shows I've done on ET Yoga, I think I've only mentioned my name a couple of times. My name is Charles Green, and if you'd like to email me, you can do so at paperfungo, that's PAPERFUNGO, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. And nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes using techniques you've picked up on the program. And also, I'm very interested in your input with respect to program content. So if there's a topic you'd like to hear about, feel free to email me. And also, I'm very interested in people giving me feedback concerning the program content that I choose, because before I was doing the ET Yoga program, I always thought my forte was actually answering questions. And when you're doing this program, basically you're the one presenting information, and I always like to listen to the show the next day because it's hard to tell really how things are going. I mean, it's almost like doing a show in a telephone booth because there's not a lot of interaction with a live audience. And although my forte was answering questions, it's not often that I get an opportunity to answer questions. So I much appreciate you taking the time to ask me a question. And I do have quite a background of being around some high beings, and I've heard lots of questions asked, and I've got, you know, quite a backlog of information to draw from. So if you've got something on your mind, something that you'd like somebody else's opinion about, feel free, again, to email me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. And you can also easily find my contact button just by going to my website, etyoga.com. And at etyoga.com, you'll also find a button right on the main page there called Radio Archives. And if you'd like to re-listen to a program, all you have to do is go there and hit the Radio Archive button, and it'll take you directly to the most recent shows with their dates. And you can also access that same information directly through BBS Radio. Now, in preparing for tonight's program, I want to cover a couple of short items before we get into the major issues. And one of those is a little tidbit of information that I picked up from the Pleiadians, and it's concerning preventing cavities. And, you know, for some people, that's a really big deal. From what I understand, there's about 50 to 60% of the bankruptcies in the United States are due to medical and dental bills. And certainly preventing cavities would go a long way towards eliminating dental bills. So the suggestion from the Pleiadians is in the morning to just take a little bit of lemon and mix it with your water. So you're having a little bit of lemon water, which alkalines the system. And then brush your teeth with baking soda. So I think that's a really, really good idea and a really cheap idea. I think baking soda is probably about a dollar and a half, and, you know, the cost of a lemon can't be too much. So you can make yourself a jug of lemon water and get in the habit of using baking soda to brush your teeth. I like to use as well either sea salt or Himalayan salt first, and then I use the baking soda. And I can't say for sure whether it works or not. I've only been trying it for about 4 years, but it's worked for about 4 years for me, so I can at least pass that on. And there is one other bit of information that relates directly to cavities as well that comes from Dr. Pete Peterson, and that's from an interview he did at Project Camelot. And he states that back around World War II or just after, hundreds of thousands of children were actually tested with skatefish oil. And all they did was put a drop of skatefish oil on a piece of bread, and apparently it totally eliminates cavities. And as well, he states that it will also prevent heart disease because skatefish oil is one of the highest antioxidants in the world, if not the highest. And that's not cod liver oil, by the way. It's skatefish oil. And if you do a bit of a search for that, you'll be able to come up with that product. It's not too pricey. I think you can get about 100 tablets for about $35 if you do some shopping around. So a couple of tips that might just be useful. Also, I'd like to spend a couple of minutes talking about responsibility, because what I'm noticing in my daily life, I'm noticing a lot of people that don't seem to be taking responsibility for their lives or their outer experience and reality. And I really kind of feel bad for them concerning that, and the reason would be that we're creating our outer experience. And, you know, if you're not aware of that, then it's kind of it's a big handicap. And the reason it's a handicap is because your thoughts, your beliefs, your emotions, your intentions, your expectations create your outer reality. And because you're creating your outer reality, you're 100% responsible. It doesn't mean you're to blame. It means that you have a responsibility. You know, blame and complaint and justification of circumstances are all signposts of victimhood mentality. And so it's not about, you know, creating blame. And there's a couple of really big benefits to taking 100% responsibility for your outer experience. Because first of all, it frees you up from all that old baggage that a lot of people have been carrying around for decades. Like the old high school teacher or the high school baseball coach or these other people that somehow messed up your life. And, you know, if you're the one that's creating your outer circumstances, then there isn't anybody else to blame. And if there's nobody else to blame, it frees you up from all that old baggage. You don't need to be caught up in it. And, you know, I think if we use this analogy, like if you were to pass on from the physical body and you were looking down on your life experience to date, what you'd realize is that you did create it. So ironically, that which you complain about, you're the creator of. And it really does free you up from all that old baggage. And not only that, but it's your point of power. Because if you're the one that's creating it, you've got the power to fix it. But if you think you're just a victim of circumstances, then you feel powerless and you don't have a point of power and you don't feel that you have the ability to change or make adjustments to your outer reality. So it's a big, big point. And I know that there are people out there that just can't get it through their head that there's some connection between their thoughts and beliefs and intentions and emotions, that there's no connection between that and what they experience in their outer reality. And there's really no pushing people to believe that, because if they don't connect with that, it's because they're not resonating on that frequency. In physical reality, you experience that which you are a frequency match for. And if you're not a frequency match for the information, you don't get it. It's invisible to you. And I appreciate that. So it's not like you need to go around and, you know, convince your friends and neighbors, you know, that that's so. You may present the idea out there and let them make up their own minds, because it's one thing is I've learned over time is, so for some people, there's no proving it. There's no convincing them. It's just, you know, they're just not ready for it right now. So I wanted to pass that on, because what I'm seeing outwardly is so many people kind of tossing responsibilities onto all sorts of different people in our society, especially in medical areas. It's almost like as long as you're not to blame, it doesn't matter if somebody that's under your care actually gets harmed by some of these people. And I think it's really a shame to see that, because we tend to shove off all our responsibilities. The school system's responsible for the education, the doctor's responsible for the health, and somebody else is responsible for this, and somebody else is responsible for that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the fact of the matter is that for a lot of people, it comes down to they're not responsible for anything. And even some of the people you go to, I mean, making you sign waivers to say they're not responsible. So, you know, the bottom line here is, folks, responsibility is a big, big thing. And now I'd like to kind of move on, because in talking about reality creation, I usually break down reality creation into three areas. Number one is those thoughts, beliefs, emotions, expectations that you have that create your outer reality. And where you got most of those from was probably from early childhood, first 6-7 years of life, when you're downloading information from your original caregivers. So I really think it's a good idea to take a piece of paper sometime, sit down, and make a list of all the things you believe. And then take a look and see if they're being reflected in your outer experience. So that's the first phase of reality creation, the beliefs that you've downloaded from childhood. Second, and I think the easiest way to get into reality creation, is learn to put positive spin on outer circumstances. In fact, Bashar from the Esasani civilization, now called the Shekhani because they've moved up a dimension, would say regarding positive spin that the main focus of the rational mind is to put positive spin on outer circumstances. That's the main focus. And if you can identify a negative in your life, try putting positive spin on it, and you will find that you will get a positive experience from that. If you place a negative definition on an outer circumstance and a negative emotional spin, you will get a negative experience. And over the course of years, I've challenged the ET Yoga audience many, many times to make a notebook, log when you do this. Some of the things take longer time to sort out than others by subject matter, but some things happen very rapidly. And if you would get into the practice of trying to do this, you'll find that it works. And once it clicks that it works, it blows your mind, because there's definitely a connection between beliefs and magic. And it really is magic, because magic's the ability to conjure something into form, and beliefs do the same thing. And mass beliefs create mass conjurings. Beliefs are essentially agreements about reality, and both personal and collective beliefs form the structure and the parameters of your life experience in any area. And I know that, for example, in the medical area, we talk about the placebo effect, where, you know, a sugar pill that logically should have no effect can sometimes cure people of outer circumstance disease. And why is that so? Well, it's because they believe it. And this is not true just in the medical area. It's true in every life experience in any area of your life. And in fact, the Pleiadians have said that understanding the power of beliefs and the power of the mind, both individually and in mass, is the most pressing and crucial issue for humankind to grasp. That the overall world structure is a framework of agreements that you operate within. It's not the only version of the world. Nature is flexible and alive with multidimensional possibilities, and your beliefs, decisions, and emotions play the decisive role in creating the version of the world reality you actually encounter. And I think that's really key. And again, this whole idea of placing positive spin on outer circumstances is, to me, it's just the easiest way to get involved with this whole idea of having fun with reality creation. And I'd also like to share with you some information from Merlin the Magician, and that's at Creative Camelot. And Creative Camelot's quite an interesting website. If you haven't been there, there are some free articles, and Merlin the Magician and Merlin operate there. And one of Merlin's messages is that when you first focus on a desire for something you do not have, you may resonate with the perspective of not having it. You can create an energy shift to bring that which you desire into your experience by waving the wand of your limitless imagination. When you imagine that you are already experiencing what you desire, you are experiencing fulfillment. You are drinking then from the Holy Grail. To master this craft of magic, practice continuously. When you master the craft of fulfilling your dreams, first from within, those dreams must become physical reality. See yourself receiving what you want by imagining that it is already there. If you find yourself imagining just to get something, what you are saying is that you don't have that something. You are telling the universe to give you more of what you do not have. You present yourself with a gift when you can sense the presence of a desire fulfilled. Pretending is not a popular pastime, but here, Merlin sees there will be a new trend. As you tend to pretending, you become as children entering the kingdom of heaven. And he also has a great tip in that you'll find that if you spend half the time in your imagination that you do being aware of what has already been created, you'll be much more effective at reality creation. good advice from Merlin the magician. And along those same lines, Bashar certainly would concur as well. And Bashar would say that you must see the reality you prefer as now existing in the moment. Then it will become tangible in your outer reality. A radio uses a channel tuner to select and receive any one particular station out of all the programs that are simultaneously existing all around the radio. Likewise, there are infinite probable reality creations that we could receive and experience at any moment. How do we select which one of these we wish to pull to the foreground to experience? We select and receive specific versions of reality by our beliefs. We select and receive by our 100% trust in what we know is so. And here's the physics of how this works. Each belief gets you vibrating at a unique set of frequencies, and these frequencies then attract by sympathetic resonance those holograms vibrating on the same frequencies. That is, out of the background universal matrix of infinite possible holograms, those holograms and symbols that synchronistically vibrate at the same frequencies as the frequencies of your belief get pulled out from this matrix and received by you as the actual external physical experiences that you then sense as real, that you sense as objective reality. So each belief is a unique set of frequencies, which is a template that determines which holograms you attract into your experience. And I think that's right on track, the physics of how that works. Because as we know, we live in a hologram. And as Greg Braden has pointed out, we sort of live in a universe that actually is much like we were inside a virtual reality, holographic virtual reality computer. And as he would state, that the computer would have a language of interpretation as well as the universe has a language of interpretation, and the language of interpretation is belief. Thus, in simplified terms, what you believe is. And if you really take an objective look at what you really do believe, you'll find out that's so. And when that clicks in, that will tell you that you may have some beliefs that you may want to change, and then you need to reprogram those beliefs. And because there is really no objective reality, there is a consensus that we all agree to, a consensus reality, which you could call a reality in that sense, but there's not really an objective reality. Reality is the experience, and what's real for you becomes your reality. And that also really ties into the whole idea here about seeing things as already happened. That's also tied right into the Greg Braden video, and it's a YouTube video called Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes, about his experiences at a Qigong center in Beijing, China, which is a place where they actually have a cure rate of, or did before they got shut down, and operated for about 10 years with about 85% of all types of diseases, and where they put on film a woman's tumor disappearing in 3 minutes. And it was done through basically that process of three health practitioners visualizing in synchronicity the fact that she had already been healed. And, of course, they've mastered this craft because they've done it so many times. And in the West, it seems like a miracle, but to the people that actually do this kind of thing, it's seen as a technology. And you can go online and you can do some follow-up on the center there, as I did in about the last show or previous show. I did quite an extensive research there on that Qigong medicineless hospital in Beijing, China, and they don't use any big pharma drugs there either, and no operations. So that's, to me, that's real medicine. That's real caring for people. And I think that the charge they had there was something like $70 U.S. for a month that you stayed there and received treatment. Beautiful people involved in that whole process. And another big tip, I think, comes from Abraham Hicks. And Abraham Hicks, as I understand it, Abraham and Esther Hicks, they channel a collective group of beings. And I find that their information is quite similar to Bashar's, a little different slant on it, kind of like Elin's a different slant than Bashar. Elin is another Esasani being. They get to the same point, but they get there different ways, kind of like yoga masters. They may have different teachers and different paths, but all goes to the same place. And one of the suggestions of Abraham Hicks was to tell your life story the way you want it to be rather than the way it is. The universe doesn't know when you're imagining it or living it. Like the brain can't tell if the TV show you're watching is real or not. Interesting when you put it together how the universe works. And again, imagination being the key. And the idea that giving gratitude, thanks, and appreciation for already having received whatever it is you want is the key. The universal intelligence, from its perspective, there is no future. Everything is happening in the now. Everything is happening simultaneously. So it's not like you're hoping that something's going to be better someday, because what you're going to get is everything will be better someday. But it's not going to be happening in the now. So when you give thanks, gratitude, and appreciation for something that has already happened is the key. And there are some, Christy Marie Sheldon is one teacher of reality creation that I like her approach there as well. And she gives a technique that basically you get in a good space and you let your energy expand from your body to the size of the room, then to the size of your neighborhood, then to the size of your city, your state, to the size of the United States, to the size of the Earth, to the size of the solar system, to the size of the galaxy, to the size of all galaxies, and get connected as much best you can with source energy. And from that perspective, the highest place you can get to, and that'd be similar to when I, at the end of this program, when I give the Who Am I technique, get to that high place, okay? Then, from that place, give your thanks, gratitude, and appreciation for what it is you want to receive. And give thanks, gratitude for already having received it. That being the key. That, so you're looking for an effective technique. There is an effective technique. And Abraham Hicks would also say that when you're putting out a belief that within 17 seconds of focusing on something, a matching vibration becomes activated, and now as that focus becomes stronger and the vibration becomes clearer, the law of attraction will bring to you more thoughts that match. And I'm going to share with you a list that I made here about a suggestion to, you know, get excited about doing reality creation, because it's fun, it's gas. And imagine keeping a thought for 17 seconds, and then apparently the power just magnifies huge with every 17-second interval. So you could take something like this list, like get really excited about creating what you want, and state that there's so many wonderful things in my life, and I know that I am a powerful creator, and I have amassed something very impressive, and I have amassed a vibrational expectation that is far greater than my assets. And once I tune in to all the assets supporting me with the support of the creators who create worlds backing me up, I can achieve anything. I am the vibration of abundance. Now let the money roll in, knowing that appreciation and gratitude closes the gap between me and that I wish to create. I am a good creator. I have a high standard. I support myself well. There's so many things I like. I like getting better every day. I'm determined to tell stories that move in the direction of the vortex. I like knowing that whatever I want will flow to me. I'm eager to see the results of my focus. There's so many things I'm eager to have. I like the understanding of the laws of the universe. I like getting better at the laws every day. I love directing my thoughts. I love prosperity. And I have the feeling that I can just create anything I want. And I know that I have put a lot of energy into my health, and I adore knowing that the universe has my back, and I eagerly wait for evidence of the vortex in my life, and I've been making steady progress in my life, and I put more into my vibrational assets, and my vibrational asset is my greatest work, and I love being alive. And I don't know how long that took, but probably more than 68 seconds. And, you know, at that point, the vibration, I'd say at 17 seconds, it might not have that much power. But if you maintain your focus longer, the power of the vibration will become further reaching. And if you manage to stay purely focused upon any thought for as little as 68 seconds, the vibration is powerful enough that its manifestation begins. When you repeatedly return to a pure thought, maintaining it for at least 68 seconds, in a short period of time, that thought becomes a dominant thought. And once you achieve a dominant thought, you will experience matching manifestations until you change it. And remember that the thoughts you think equal your point of attraction. You get what you think about whether you want it or not. Your thoughts equal vibration, and that vibration is then answered by the law of attraction. As your vibration expands and becomes more powerful, it eventually becomes powerful enough for manifestation to occur. In other words, what you think and therefore feel and what manifests in your experience is always a vibrational match. You have the ability to direct your own thoughts. You have the option of observing things as they are or imagining them as you want them to be. And which option you choose, whether you are imagining or observing, is equally powerful. You have the option of remembering something as it actually occurred or imagining it as you prefer. You have the option of remembering something that pleased you or remembering something that did not please you. you have the option of anticipating something you want or anticipating something you do not want. In every case, your thoughts produce a vibration, whether you, are consciously aware of this or not. And you have the ability to place your attention wherever you decide. So it's possible to distract yourself from something unwanted and put your attention upon something wanted. The one of vibration within you is one you have practiced a great deal. The tendency is to continue to offer the vibration in the way you have been practicing it. So no matter how much you wish it to be different, it can be tricky here because you get into bad habits of thinking. And it's not a difficult thing to change the pattern of your vibration, especially when you understand that you can do it a little bit at a time. Once you have an understanding of how vibrations work, how they affect your experience, and most important, what your emotions are telling you about your vibrations, now you can make steady, fast progress towards re-achievement of anything you desire. And according to the Abraham Hicks system, they state that 17 seconds equals 2,000 action hours, that 34 seconds of holding the thought, a dominant thought, is worth 20,000 action hours, and 51 seconds is 200,000 action hours, and 68 seconds, imagine, 68 seconds is like 2 million action hours. So that's, we're talking about, one of their sayings is kind of like that, action hours creates mediocrity. Focused attention creates miracles. I mean, that's just huge. So when you align your energies with the energies that create worlds, when you are no longer contradicting of your core, amazing things happen. Now, it sounds like 17 seconds isn't a very much time, but as Abraham Hicks and Esther Hicks note, as they watch us, they see that most of us, at about 8 seconds, begin contradictory vibrations. Most of us do not make it through a whole sentence without contradicting the vibration of your desire. For example, Abraham, I want money. I'm tired of the struggle. That was about 3 seconds. Abraham, I want so much to be well. I'm frightened of the illness. You have been trained to be so objective that you keep shooting yourself in the foot. It's like saying, I want a cup of tea, and so they turn the fire on, and just before it boils, they turn it off, and then they turn it on again, and then just before it's ready, they turn it off again, and they just keep doing this, and Esther and Abraham say, just leave it on a little longer. The reason it's difficult is because you have been trained to weigh the pros and cons, the pluses and the minuses. You've been taught that this is balanced or even-minded. And a lady with a financial issue, a health issue, and a relationship issue, she had practiced negative thoughts about them so much that, well, it was hard for her to practice positive thoughts. So Abraham suggested that she take 3 subjects that she did not already have a habit of negative thoughts about. And Abraham picked blue glass, which they talked about, and then feathers for 17 seconds, and then butterflies for 17 seconds. And later the universe had managed to deliver in dramatic fashion all 3 subjects. So they're suggesting play this game of threes and prove to yourself that in 2 or 3 days' time that the universe absolutely and always is responsive to your vibrations. And the reason that we do not know the universe is responding to the vibration is because you're saying, I want a new red car, but it's too expensive. In other words, there's some contradictory vibration in some of our statements. So if you play this game, you'll learn two wonderful things. The first is you'll show yourself that you have the ability to hold your mind on something for 17 seconds. And if you can do it for the first 17, you can do it for the second and the third and the fourth. And the other thing that will happen is you'll give the opportunity to the universe to show you that it is already responsive to your vibration. You're going to learn that you really are beaming energy that is being responded to. And it is going to give you a sense of control. It's going to give you a sense of being the deliberate creator that you really are. That's why you're here. You are creators. But let us put this into very clear terms for you. You are creators, meaning you are focusers of energy. If you do not have the ability to hold a thought, you cannot be a creator. You are not regurgitators. You did not come forth to just observe all over the place and vibrate all over the place. You came forth to direct energy. And by directing energy, you must hold the thought. Now, how do you know how you're doing? In other words, how do you know whether you are holding a thought or not? Well, you have to get sensitive to the way that you're feeling. And that's because, actually, you need to feel the fluctuations of the vibrations within you. Your emotional guidance system, in other words, the way you feel is the way you know how you're doing. Imagine a room fan, one of those well-made, heavy, expensive, heavy-duty room fans, and it's blowing air in your direction. And it's so well-made that even though you can feel the stream of air blowing air in your direction. It's so well made that even though you can feel the stream of air blowing toward you, you can't hear it. It's barely making any sound at all. Now, stick your pencil in the fan. That'd create quite a ruckus, wouldn't it? Well, that pencil in the fan, that's exactly what negative emotion is. When you introduce a lower vibration into a higher vibration, you can feel the fluctuation of the energy. A pencil in the fan is an extreme example of a fluctuation of energy, but that's exactly what negative emotion is. When you have a desire, when you have a thought about something, and you have brought yourself to a place of desire, and then you conclude, I can't have that, when you introduce that I can't have it thought to the higher, faster frequency of desire, that disappointment or negative emotion is your pencil in the fan. And it is you introducing a lower, slower vibration into the higher, faster frequency. You get the sense of what we're talking about? As you begin to play with this, have you ever noticed, have you ever known someone where the longer you talked to them, the better you felt? It was just this friend that when you got together, you always got feeling good. You got silly. You had fun. Have you ever been with anyone? Usually it's when you're very young, usually about teenage years is when this all stops. You get together with that group of people and they are all in that happy vibration and you just play and play and play until you just, you know, parlayed all that into higher and higher vibration until you felt that there's nothing you couldn't do. That's the feeling we want you to reconnect with. We want you to understand that if you could just hold a thought, any thought for 17 seconds, it is going to combust and give you that energy sensation. And as you do this, as you begin to do it deliberately, and then you see the universe responding, you become creative things. You begin then to step into the shoes that you intended when you decided to come forth and you said, I will go forth with this sea of contrast, this blessed contrast, and out of this contrast, it'll be easy for me to come to a conclusion. And once I reach a conclusion, then all I have to do is hold my thought in a similar vibration to any conclusion, and as I do that, I will achieve a vibration outpouring that the universe will match. And I don't know, it doesn't get any more clear than that, because the whole point of that whole bit of information was that you have to be a frequency match for what you experience. And to me, this is really falls into that category of what I call the third type of reality creation, is where you're actually intending to create a new situation. It's not the second form, where you're throwing positive spin on an existing situation, and it's not a belief you downloaded from childhood. To me, the third form of reality creation, which is the most difficult and trickiest, but also the most gratifying, is just creating new situations. So I hope that some of those ideas you can get excited about and put into practice. And I might note that from my observation, what I'm seeing in our society is that clearly there are certain powers that be that don't want people using their imaginations. It's definitely an area that's been ignored throughout our education. And now that we have all these technological gadgets out there to get our minds focused in an outward direction, and outward direction creates beta wave brain waves. So, you know, inward produces the alpha. So it would appear that there's just such an addiction to this outer technology that we're spending less and less time, both as children and adults, utilizing our imagination. And that relates again to Merlin's comment that try to spend half the time in your imagination that you do observing what's already been manifested. And it's about that time for me to wish our listening audience my personal best wishes towards your attainment of mastery of reality creation, full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'd now like to share with you the Who Am I technique. And it's not a prerequisite, but probably the most optimum way would be to do your yoga asanas, and then your pranayams, your breathing exercises, after your postures, and get to the highest place you can by any means possible. And when you get to that place, put all of your consciousness in your ajna center, your third eye center, and become a spot there. All of your attention, your complete consciousness, all in your third eye, and become that spot. Then once you're that spot, I would ask the question, who am I, about 30 or 35 times, and you'll develop a rhythm there. It could be, you know, who am I, who am I, or it could be, who am I, whatever frequency or repetitive rate seems to suit you the best. Asking the question will draw the answer. You won't go through the doorway all the time, no doubt. However, if you do go through the doorway, then you'll realize your true self. And after asking the question about 30 or 35 times, I would then state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of